Okay, we've been in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26. I want to give you a background. Genesis chapter 1 verses 26, we see that God's plan. Can we have Genesis chapter 1 verses 26 quickly? Okay, 26. It says, and God says, let us have man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So we said God's plan was what? Create earth and give the rule over it to what? To man, the man who was in his what? Who was in his what? His image. And then in verses 26 to 27, can we read 27? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. 28. Then he blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Verses 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields what? Seed. To you it shall be for food. So we said when God had given the earth to man, so the next thing was he gave him full control. Everyone say full control. Come on, everyone say full control. And we saw that in Hebrews chapter 2 verses 5 to 9, which says, what is man? That you're mindful of him, that you've put what? Him in control over what? All of creation. So say I'm in control. Come on, say I'm in control. Okay, so God generous creates a world, and his goal is that he gives it to a man in his image, and that man is fully in control. Amen? Come on, amen? Come on, amen? Come on, amen. James chapter 1 and verses 17. James 1, 17. James 1:17. James 1 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no one. Of what? Shadow of turning. Can you give me another version which gives it a very different rendering? He never changes or what? Cast a shifting shadow. So when God gives, he doesn't change his mind. When God gives, he does not change his mind. When God gave the earth to Adam and Eve, he didn't, even when they sinned, he did not change his mind and say, oh, since they have sinned, let me withdraw some of the things. No. Every perfect gift comes from above, Father of light, who doesn't change his mind. So everybody say, God doesn't change his mind. He only gives good, and when he gives good, he doesn't what? Changes his what? So these things of, there are earthquakes, there are pestilence that God is trying to punish the world, that is not a doctrine that is from God. If the world is being destroyed, it's destroyed by man, not God. You're actually destroying what is yours. Amen? Come on, amen? Romans 11, 29. Romans 11, 29. For God's gifts are what? And his callings are... His calling can never be what? Withdrawn. When God has gifted you, he can't withdraw what he has gifted you with. Are we together? Come on, are we together? Are we together? Job 1:1. So somebody said, what about Job 1:1? Job 1:1. Is it Job 1 or Job 1:11? Job 1:21. Aha. And say, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gives, and the Lord has taken away. And what did Job say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the reason why I stopped watching Nigerian movies is because there would be so much evil, and then at the end they would say, to God be the glory. I just don't understand that. The movie is so wicked, so evil, and then to the end they say, to God be what? So that was Job. He says, God gives and he takes away, so to God be the glory. Glory for what? That he took away? But later I would read Job 42, verses 3. Job 42, verses 3. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. So at the end of Job's life, Job is repenting and said, the first statement I said it in what? In ignorance. I didn't know what I was talking about. So that's why we usually, when we sing that song, Blessed Be Your Name, for us here we don't sing, you give and take away, we eliminate that verse. But the other verses are okay. But you give and not take away is not God. God doesn't give and takes away. Amen? And that's a liberating truth, because then you are not going to fall into the hands of you don't have because you haven't sown. Then what has happened to what you have? Who has taken it away? Are we together? Come on, are we together? So can we conclude God is generous? Amen? Come on, can we say God is what? Generous. And when he gives generously and he doesn't take away what he has given. Amen? But we also say, but God... Maybe not leave that. But Genesis chapter 2. Let's move on. Genesis chapter 2. Verses 1. Verses 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were what? Finished. And all the host of them. Verses 2. And on the seventh day, God what? Everyone say, ended his work. What did God do? He ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So the first worker is not man. The first worker in the Bible is God. So if we're going to talk about the subject of work, it is going to be in relation to the person who started work. We all know from Genesis when God was creating everything, after he had created, he says it is good. And what? Pleasing. So after God had finished working, he didn't just finish working, but he did a good job. So meaning that if we are also going to work here on earth, whatever we do, it ought to be a good job. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. If you're going to be a cook, be a good cook. If you're going to be a pastor, be a good pastor. If you're going to be a carpenter, be a good carpenter. Whatever work that you want to do under the sun, the example we have with our Father, who was the first person to start to work, is that you must do a good job. There's this saying, sleep when you're done, not when you're tired. We have so many people, when work is not done, they are sleeping. I know you're tired, but work is not done. Hello? Come on, hello? I just felt a little bit of fatigue. Work is not done. You'd rather zone out, but when you are going to deliver in the morning, work that is good to the client or to your boss. Amen. So everyone say, I'm going to do a good job. Don't give yourself excuses. Do a good job. Do some research. Do some, get experts. But don't keep on doing a lousy job in the name of, I don't know, or I'm tired, or how can I do it, or I didn't go to school. Find how you can do that job very well. Amen. Come on, amen. So God was the first example of what work is. And when we're going to talk about work and prospering, we're going to be looking at it in the eyes of God. So in Genesis chapter 2, verses 10, can we go there? Are we there? And the river, can we read together? So that you, because I'm going to read so many verses, so that you don't be idle. 1, 2, 3. And? Was what? Come on, let's read together. Where? So let's stop. So the land has water, right? But now the land also has what? Okay? So let's continue. The name? Okay, so verses 10 to 14 tells us that the earth was perfect with everything when it was given to man. Perfect with everything. And if you read from verses 18 to verses 20, God put there what? Animals as well. So, I'm not going to teach about it today, but this idea that God is scared when you're prosperous is not from the Bible. Because God is the one who put what? Good things on earth. So God doesn't want you to have good things. Now there's this trick, I don't know how dumb we were telling us, you know, if you're serving God, you have to be suffering, you have to be poor, you eat lousy stuff, you put on lousy. I don't know who brought that doctrine, but I think it's not from the Bible. What's wrong with being prosperous? What's wrong with dressing well? What's wrong with eating well? Is God glorified when you are not putting on well? Why would he put gold on the earth and at the same time he wants you to what? Give him that gold. For what? He put that gold for you. I said he put that gold for what? For you. So it's not a bad thing for you to have a lot of wealth. In fact, God wants you to have a lot of wealth. Once you reach, once you wear. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. God, everyone say, God wants me where? Can you say it again? God wants me well. Can you say that again? God wants me? Yes. Expensive things, you also, they are yours. Now, unless you don't want them. But they are yours. It should be a choice, but not a doctrine that God doesn't want you wear. So if you want to just eat what you want to eat, it's up to you. But it's not like God takwagaliza kubera bulungi. Amen? Come on, amen. And then God doesn't want you to well, but the people who are collecting that money for them, they want to be well. When I grew up, a little bit when I started studying the Bible, but how dumb was I? So God doesn't for me, but you. So you also, why don't you say God doesn't want us to collect a big offering? Why don't you also say that? So I said something was wrong with my brain. I should have read the Bible. Otherwise, everything we've seen so far and what God did was good. Satan was not there in the garden. There was only Lucifer. There was no devil in the garden. God does not create things that are bad. We just read in James, all perfect gifts come from above. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that you a father and you say, like for example, my kids, you say, this is your bedroom. But then I put a snake there. I say, let me see how my kids, their instincts. I want to just check their instincts. That's evil. That's very evil. Now, I can't do that. I can't even think about that. Now, how would God create man and at the same time put a devil there? How evil is that God? Amen? Come on, amen? We're not doing that, but if you came yesterday, we are handling that, and I think we'll find a way of finishing that subject. But the thing is that with whatever God created was perfect, and he wanted good for man. There were animals, rivers were there, trees were there, everything was there. Man messed it up. I've been talking about that. But in Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, so God is the first worker, right? Yes, right? Now, Genesis chapter 2, verses 5. Can we go there? Verses 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground, or there was no man to work the ground. So the earth is finished, but there is no what? Man to do what? To till or to work the ground. Verses 6. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So, before man came, guess who was looking after the garden? I guess you've never seen that. God was looking what? After the garden. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed his nostrils in the breath of life, and man became a what? a living soul. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. So why did God then create man? What was man's responsibility? Verses 16 of chapter 2. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest what? Freely eat. Everyone say freely eat. 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for it, for the day thou eatest thereof, you surely. Verses 15. Okay. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to do what? To dress it, or other translation will say to tend it. Now, the word tend means, I'll give you the Hebrew word later, it means to work or to labor. It means to what? To work or to what? Or to labor. It's the same word we've just looked at in Genesis 2:5. And there was no man to do what? To work in the land before man was created. It's the same word. Okay, tend or dress. Okay, it means to work or to labor. Okay, and to keep it. Now, the word to keep it means to give heed, to guard, to protect, or to save life. Now, probably these are the only Hebrew words I'm going to give you. And it's because we are talking about work. Now, the first word to tend is A-B-A-D. A-B-A-D. It's a Hebrew word for what? To tend. Okay? Then the second word is S-H-A-M-E-R. Okay? It's the Hebrew word to keep. Now, what was the whole role for man in the garden? To tend and to what? In other words, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he wanted them to what? To work, to labor, and then to protect the earth. The things that are going on across the world, like there's so much heat, people building in swamps. We are destroying the original plan of the what? Of the planet. But what I want you to see is that when God had finished creating the earth, the responsibility he gave man is what? Work. In fact, he gave the responsibility to man, make it better, multiply. Plant more trees if you can. Plant more flowers if you can. But man's responsibility from the very beginning, how he was going to do what? Prosper here on earth was to do what? Was to work. So work is a very good thing. And labor or hard work is not evil. Amen? Come on, amen? Because I know that people under grace, you want vineyards you did not work for, cars you did not pay for, But who told you that working for it is either bad? Huh? Honestly, me, I would rather I know that I can get it to myself every day than wait for a miracle. Because miracles are not guaranteed. You know that. Miracles are not guaranteed. But you know, if I'm working, I can bring, Basil, I can bring bread every day without prayer. Every day. Every day I can bring bread at home. With a system called what? Work. You don't have to pray for me. I will bring bread every day. Now for you, if you're waiting for prayers, today, a miracle may happen. But don't expect a miracle to happen again the same way. Miracles usually come in where the natural, one of the reasons, not the reason, the main reason, one of the reasons. Miracles come in to kind of like, miracles are like, they come in to fill in the gap where the natural can't. But where the natural is, like, for example, if the doctors are continuing to heal people, we don't need miracles. But if doctors are failing, you need the miracle. They are sleeping. Did I take a day? Doctors are healing people every day. Okay, the best thing is to have divine health, not to get sick. Right? But some people have been told that taking tablets is a lack of faith. Mujakfa. Taking medicine. In medicine is from God. It's not from the devil. Now, I would rather I am in perfect health, right? Divine health. But even when I'm sick, I can take medicine. And it's not wrong. Although we would rather not fall sick. But you've been told taking Yakufa Ali. Because God is using men on this planet who he has what? He told him what? Tend it and do what? Then keep it. But the other word is protect. So what are doctors doing? They are protecting people from dying from sickness. That is God's responsibility. God is not going to come back here and open you up and find out what is going on. No. He gave you the wisdom and the knowledge. So if doctors are doing that, then we don't need miracles. That's when they are failing. Then we need a miracle. Because naye tamancha kola. Then we need a miracle. That's why even the doctor said that was a miracle. Amen. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. So, man was created by God to do what? To work. Everybody say, I'm going to work. Hard. I'm not saying miracles are not needed. And I didn't say that's the only reason. I'm just saying one of the reasons. Miracles usually help. I've been in situations when I don't have money and a miracle happened. Somebody gave me money. Actually, one of the miracles just happened this week. They just called me from the bank and I need money. That email came in and I said, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. It's not something that I expected, but it came in when I needed it. Now, had I had money, I don't think that miracle would have happened. I think I've been praying and angels have been hearing my prayers. And they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Now, we want to look at the evidence of man working in the Old Testament. Is there evidence of man working in the Old Testament. Genesis 4. Genesis 4. Let's go this through very quickly. Genesis 4, verses 1. Genesis 4, 1. Please write down this, because after today we are going to work. Write down very well. After today we are going to what? Work. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and she says, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Verses 2. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was what? Come on, Abel was what? But Cain was what? So we have a farmer and a who? And a shepherd. How are they living? How they're prospering? They had what? Work. They are not giving offerings to God to give them prosperity. They are working. Bakola olya alunda bisolo ona akola ki? Mulimi. Amen. Come on, amen. And in Uganda, you people who think that farming is for poor people. Farming is not for poor people. Genesis 9, verses 20 to 21. I'm going to just give you a couple of verses. There are many, but I'm just giving you a couple of verses. Genesis 9, 20 to 21. And Noah began to be a what? I didn't hear you. A what? And he planted what? How do we know? 21. How do we know? Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. How do we know? He harvested Natamira. But he had vineyards. This man was not taking an offering to God at the end of every month and say, here, prosper me. No, this man was a farmer. And he had big vineyards. Amen? Amen. Genesis 13. Genesis 13, verses 1. Then Abram, before he became Abraham, went up from Egypt, he and his what? His wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the what? To the south. Abram was what? In what? So abagamba, abalunda, vavu. Now you see Abraham, livestock. Not only livestock, what? In silver. Not only silver, but in gold. So he was a farmer, and he was a gold trader also. Can we continue? Verses 3. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and what? Verse 4. To the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Verse 5. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had what? What? And what? He was a landlord. Tents. Are you seeing that these people are just hard workers? The people who have told you that Abraham got blessed because he gave a tithe, read the scriptures. These people are just normal, ordinary people who are just working the earth. Amen? Verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them that they may dwell together. For what? For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. They had so much substance that they couldn't stay together as billionaires. So they had to scatter. And God was not worried about that. It seems like people who think when you get righteous, then you should be poor. I don't know how that connects. But God is not worried about you being rich. Can you say amen? And I wish I would go through all many other verses that would show you that there were many professions in the Bible. And when we were talking about tithing, we talked about that people did not give tithers money in the Old Testament, not because they were not working or having other professions. Money was there. Gold was there. Silver was there. But they were what? Tithing, animals, and foodstuffs. Are we together? Come on, are we together? So, the whole entire Bible is against laziness. That would also shock you. From Genesis all the way to Revelation. Now, the Bible is recommending work. That means that if you're not working, also the Bible condemns that. Can we look at some of the verses? Quickly. Proverbs 12:24, what does it say? The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. A what? A lazy. Will be put to what? Forced labor. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is what? Profit. But the idle chatter leads only to poverty. Idle talker. You know, some people can talk about their dreams. Dream, but they never do anything. Idle. If you're idle, you are going to be poor. Not because Satan is against you, but you're lazy. Are we together? Can we read some more? Proverbs 13:4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has, but the soul of the diligent shall be made discipline and being diligent. Just show up. Good and bad, just show up. The Bible says if you are diligent, you prosper. Amen? Come on, amen. I was just talking about in the morning that for some of us who wake up early in the morning, usually at 7:30, all shops are closed. We are looking for breakfast. Just this last week, I was looking for groundnuts. I like groundnuts there at the Marinos. I was almost going to the Northern Bypass. Looking for what? Groundnuts. Shops are closed at 7:30. Okay, it was coming to 8. 2 days, I'm looking for groundnuts. Then later at 8, they are waking up. Me, I'm done. You're missing out customers who wake up early in the morning. Amen? Lazy soul. Can I read some more? Proverbs 12:11. He who tills his land will be satisfied with what? Bread. But he who follows is devoid of understanding. What is that? Can you give me another version? But a person who chases fantasies, yes, has no what? There are people who want to marry. Men who want to marry? Who want to marry? But omuzo inaokachi. God will supply. God will supply. Fantasy. Fantasy. People fantasy, you have no sense. Get a job, even if you are a Manson. You are planning to get married and you don't have a job. That's a risky business. But I want to say this, and this is not God, this is not Paul, but this is Godwin. Women have faith. Zembatia. You get a man who's doing nothing. Taina cha kola, but you have faith. Please, this is not Paul saying or the Bible, it's me. Women, you have a lot of faith. Proverbs 6, verses 10 to 12. A little extra sleep. A little folding of what? A little more slumber. What will happen? Then poverty will pounce on you like a thief. Scarcity will attack you like an umbrella. But honestly speaking, sometimes it's just laziness. Gwataina gwawe ayebaka echinene. You don't have, but you sleep 7 full 8 hours. Honestly speaking, let's be honest. Is it God or you? If I were you, I'll be sleeping less. I'll be sleeping less. Your boss comes to work faster than you, and you also want to be like him. Akusoka kumulimu. Ya kusasula, nena akusoka kumulimu. The Bible says, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. There's a reason why he has more. Hard work, consistency, discipline. Not anointing. Discipline and hard work. Amen. Verses 12. What are worthless and wicked people like? They are consistent liars. Okay, let me give you one more. Psalms 90, verses 17. What does it say? Psalms 90, verses 17. Psalms 90, 17. Are you with me this morning? And may the Lord, our God, show us his approval and make our efforts what? Yes, make our... King James, please. And let the beauty of our Lord God be upon us, and establish thou the what? The work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands established thou it. God will establish the works of our what? And then lastly, the book of Ecclesiastes, verse 9, verses 10. We're talking about the Bible is against laziness. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, what do it with all your might. For there is no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in what? In the grave where you go. If you want to sleep, fold hands, wait when you die. Are you hearing me? What are you sleeping for? What is air for? People who are lazy, sleeping, they are what? In the grave. You are still alive. Amen? Come on, amen? God has given you what? Life. If you woke up this morning, life. Life should tell you that there is more that God wants to do with your life. And the people who are doing sowing and reaping, they really missed it. For me, if I was going to really throw the sowing and reaping thing, I was going to really catch you on the air that you breathe. That God wants you to tax on the air that you breathe. Because the other one you can easily not give. But if I was God also and I wanted something from you, I'll say you tithe on what you breathe. The day you don't what? Give. Yaka, givako. But if he didn't do that, why would he do it on physical stuff? When the air you breathe is free of charge. Amen? Come on, amen? So whatever you find to do, do it with your might. And I want to tell everybody who is coming here to serve. If you're a pastor, serve. Do it with all your might. Do it with joy. But do it and feel that it's hard work. I say, we worked yesterday, we are serving and we are tired. Do it with all your might. You will rest when you die. This is serving God we are talking about. Hallelujah. If it's the church of God, let's give it our best. If it's ministry, let's give it our best. But don't just give God your leftover strength. Give it your best. Be the best servant at church. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now in Joshua chapter 5 and verses 12. Why did God stop giving manna to the children of Israel? Why? We say that miracles, of course, manna was there because they're in the desert. Right? There's no food. So a miracle needed to happen for 40 years. They say that manna came for 40 years. Manna lasted for 14,600 days and 20,080 weeks. Those are 40 years of manna, miracles happening every day because they're in a desert. But in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 12, and says, and the manna ceased. What happened? Why did it cease? No, binobiawa andikiwa. Put it in an NLT. Maybe it will give us a very good rendering. when all the Amorites, is that the same chapter? Joshua 5:12. No manna appeared on the day. Can you imagine the first day? No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land and was never seen again. So, from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. So, how were they eating? They were working. So, why was manna given? It's because they're in the desert. They didn't have land. They're in transitioning. So, but people say, but God provided manna. Know why manna was given. Because the day they entered the promised land, God expected them now what? To use their hands. Manna stopped. It stopped that day. Have you realized that if you didn't have a job, a lot of miracles happening financially, right? The day you get a job, it's not that the miracles, no, now you are working. Right? Now you are what? You're working. So, from henceforth, now they were expected to use their what? Their hands, because now there is the land. Why manna coming from heaven when there is land? Amen? Come on, amen? So we should work. Everyone say work. Everyone say work. I'm going to work. Work in the gospel. I want to look through a little bit work in the gospel, and then I will end work with Paul. Matthew 4, verses 18. Work in the four Gospels. Matthew 4 and 18. Matthew 4, 18. King James. Okay. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw how many brothers? Two. Simon and Peter and Andrew's brother, casting a net into the what? So they are what? So ministry is not for people who have failed in life. Because that analogy has been there, that if you enter ministry, ministry is for those people who have failed, you don't have what to do. These men were fishermen. Jesus picked people who are working. I said Jesus picks people who are what? Working. So being in ministry is not an excuse for being lazy. What are you doing in the house of prayer from morning to sunset? Praying, praying, praying. What are you praying? Solomon says there's time for everything. Wake up early in the morning, get some prayer time, but your boss needs you to be at work at 7. So I was doing devotion. You are doing the right thing at the wrong time. And poverty will pounce on you like a thief. Verses 19. And he said unto them, follow me and I'll make you what? And verses 20. And they straight away left their nets and followed me. So those men were what? Fishermen. Matthew 9:9. And Jesus passed forth from hence and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of, and he said unto him, follow me, and he arose and what? Followed him. Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew was a what? He was a tax collector. Mark 6:3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James? And what? And Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And not his sisters here with us, and they were offended at him. Now, usually in the ancient times, the business of the family would say, like, for example, right now, Marino's children would say, the family business, the children would take on the family business. Okay, let's say these are the Marinos. Meaning that their father had started that business, but they had also taken it on. So Jesus' father was a what? A carpenter. So Jesus is called a what? The son of a carpenter. So Jesus also wasn't here waiting for his ministry, praying day and night. Jesus was a carpenter. And those who say carpentry can't marry a man who is a carpenter, look at your Lord Jesus Christ. Was a carpenter. I say, how can I marry a man who is a carpenter? Hey, work is work. Work is what? Work is work. So we see that in the Gospels, there is work. And there are so many other verses. But I'm just giving you a few. But you can just see that even Jesus didn't undermine work. But where I want to spend some of the time is Paul. Because Paul wrote almost half of the New Testament. And Paul talked about work. I don't know why people who preach grace don't preach work like this. Now, first of all, in Acts chapter 18, from verses 1 to 4, what did Paul do? Can we find out? Do you want to find out? What was Paul doing? These ones I want you to write down and follow with me. Remember, after today we are going to what? Mwadete muna atandika. Mulinda sala. Kati sala nzikomi unakulu uluwale ito tugenda kolachi. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And found a certain Jew named what? Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife, and Priscilla say, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and come unto them. Verses 3. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrote, for by their occupation they were what? So one of Paul's occupation, he was a tent maker. Okay? That's how he found Aquila and Priscilla. And he discipled them. When he discipled them, he didn't tell them, leave tent making and do what? And do the work of the ministry. No, we later find out when Paul is writing to the church that meets at where? At Priscilla and Aquila's place. Amen? So for all young ministers who want to come into ministry, ministry doesn't mean you neglect work. Because Paul, first of all, was a tent maker, but also the people he discipled into ministry, he did not tell them to leave their work. Amen? Is that encouraging? Very much. You can read all the way up to verse 4. But the second thing Paul was doing is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go there. This one, I think I'm going to open the Bible as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. verses 1. Now, one of the other things that Paul was doing, this is a very long verse, but let's read. Okay? One of the other things that Paul was doing, he was a missionary. He was a preacher of the gospel. That is his work. It is work. And we're going to find out. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Am I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not ye my work? Pastoring is work. If you thought we are here just showing off, it's work. This book is not easy to interpret, first of all. But also the Bible calls you sheep. Which they called you goats. It calls you sheep. And you all know that sheep, but sheep is one of the dumbest animals. Bogenda kulugudo. Endiga. Erabe motoka. Nesigala ono omutwe gwayo. Goat run. Dogs run. Not sheep. So you know why God calls us sheep. It's not easy. It's work. So if you're driving, you have to stop if there's a sheep in the way. Because you're going to knock it. So he says, are ye not my work, my labor in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. Okay? Let's go on. Verses 3. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Come on, let's read. Have we no power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead away a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Okay, let's go on. Verse 6. For I only and Barnabas, have we not with the power to forbear working? So that means that they were working. Right? Verse 7. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not from the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? This is a parable, but it's about to be explained. Verses 8. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law? The same thing also. So what does the law say? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not what? Muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? It's a question. Rhetorical one. Verses 10. Who saith? Or saith he, it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. This is written, that he that ploweth should plow in what? And he that thresheth in what? Should be partaker of his hope. So what are you trying to say, Paul? Verses 11. If we have sworn unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? This is a Bible. I'm going to use it to read. I've never seen this Bible. No. Paul is saying, we are working. And here the conversation is saying, we are not demanding it. But also, it's not because we haven't taken it that is not supposed to be done to us. You see the conversation. Okay, let's go ahead. If others have this right, come on. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So you see that? Paul is saying, I'm saying all this not because we are not supposed to be supported. But the reason why we haven't taken this offering from you is because we don't want to hinder the gospel. Amen? Verses 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live over things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Verses 14. Even so, as the Lord ordained that they which what? Must what? There's even those who what? Who do what? Should what? So if someone is not preaching the gospel, should they be paid? Now, I want you to follow how Paul is saying. He's not saying that the preachers demand it. But he's not also saying that the church should not do it. Do you see? But he's saying, read between the lines. There's no ox that goes to work and then it comes back and even a little corn or water is not given. They that preach the gospel live from the gospel. And that's why the Bible is saying that double honor is given to those that preach or labor in the word. Mark my words, labor in the word. Because there are those who are not laboring in the word. But if it's a shepherd and they are laboring in this field, they should be taken care of. If we don't, then we are muzzling the ox. Can we continue? Verses 15. But I've used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that you should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than what? Verses 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Verses 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a what? But if it's against my will, of the gospel is committed unto me. And verses 18, as I end that verse. What is my reward then? Very that when I what? I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without what? That I abuse not my power in the gospel. So if it is done or it is to be taught right, the pastor is not demanding. That's the right word. Okay? But also, Paul is saying the church should not be muzzled. Okay? It's not demanded, but also as a church, know your responsibility. Are we together? That if a man is laboring in the word, take care of them. Don't just say, God bless you, pastor. God be with you. We are praying for you, pastor. God will reward you. Pastor, you've been good to us. No, if I've sown spiritual things, is it a bad thing to expect material things from you? Because what else can you give me? You can't give me eternal life. The pastor ndikuwachi. You can't give me eternal life. Give me money. That's what Paul is saying. I have sown spiritual things. Is it too much that I get carnal things? Because that's the least you can do. Is give a cup of water to the preacher. Amen. I like preaching. I learned from my late auntie, the one who raised me up and actually who helped me really to appreciate salvation. She would go to Dubai. Every time she would come back, first of all, she would buy for all of us at home. But I will never forget vividly, she would buy suits, very nice suits for her pastor. Expensive suits. And shirts. Every time she came back from Dubai. I said, this woman is generous. And she would take them and bless her pastor. She would never come back from Dubai and not have something from her pastor, for her pastor. It always, always. How are you taking care of your pastors who are taking care of you? This is the part you wished I said amen and we close the service. But honestly, how do you take care of your pastors? Buy him dinners. I had a habit because, really, like I said, there's nothing I would give back to my pastor. Really, really nothing. He really raised me up. I was very unruly. I had no work ethic. So one of the things I just decided, like at the end of every year, I'll buy him a very nice shirt. And that was about Christmas. I'll make it a habit. Because really needed nothing. So, but out of my appreciation, I'll really make sure every year, at least I buy him a very nice shirt. And that is to appreciate. Because he's been really good. But part of the other thing I would do for me, I really served my pastor very well, wholeheartedly, without complaining, without murmuring. Not that I didn't have opportunities, but I really worked. Because I knew that he had poured he trained me. Some of the things I'm doing right now, I was trained. So, in reverse, you don't just be there and say, I'm praying for you. You get some material stuff and you bless. Airtime. Mobile money. Today, money is very easy to pass. Mobile money. Groceries. Buy. The pastor will take care of your monthly groceries. Unless they are not laboring. But if they are, you're muzzling the ox that is faithful. Do you know the ox? Maybe you don't know the ox. Huh? Entezirima. Kumacha paka. Wadenamazi notajiwamazi. That's what the Bible is saying. Does God take care of cow? No. He's talking about that a very good worker should be paid well. Ah, can you hear amen? Because I'm also saying on your side, if you're a good worker, you should be paid well. And if you're a boss and you're not paying well, you are wicked. If people are doing a good job and you're not paying well, that's not a good thing. Amen. Come on, amen. I like treating people well. Or paying people well. My last job, the thing that I did when I just couldn't there is these people are not being paid well. says, well, can we do something about it? Now, if people are not working, that's another thing. But people are working. And money is there and we're not paying. I said, no, let's work on it. By the time I left, I think we had worked on salary increase about three or like four times. When I left, I'd left when it has increased the highest it has ever been. Guess what? And mine had never been increased. But I would want that if somebody worked in that place, they would be proud. They're proud that they're working in that place. Now, there are many people who are being employed and the systems are well, but somebody put in the effort to make sure that while you're coming to work, it treats you well. You can go home and you are proud to your family that I'm working. You know, there are some people who go back home and their family is waiting for them and they see you go every day, but they don't even know what you're doing because they don't see any practical results. You get what I'm saying? But sometimes it's not the man. It's the evil boss or the evil supervisor who's not seeing the need that that person is really putting in a lot of effort and they should be what? They should be rewarded. Amen? Come on, amen. Come on, amen. So, Paul was a tent maker, but Paul was also a preacher of the gospel. So the pastors all here who are here that we need to work. If you say you're a preacher, then work. Amen? Come on, amen. Work. Whatever that means, work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6. If you came in later, you found us when we have finished praise and worship. And praying. So we'll pray at the end. For your sake. 6. But now, when Timothy came from you and to us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see you. What did I say? 2 Thessalonians, sorry. 3:6. Second. Now we command you. You say what? Brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother. Can I have a different NLT or New King James? New King James. Is that New King James? Let me see NLT. Okay. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this commandment in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives. Stay what? Abasabe nyo, ngatebagala kola, stay away. Sisters, brothers who just speak in tongues, don't want to work, stay away. Idle. Musa canons the scriptures. Stay away. You don't need faith for an idle brother. You need rebuke. Okay? Stay away. And don't follow the traditions they have. And they don't follow the tradition they received from us. What are the traditions they received from us? Let's continue. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idol when we were with you. Let's continue verse 8. Come on. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. Continue. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Verse 10. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Verses 11. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work, and meddling in other people's business. Visiting. There are believers who have time to visit other believers every single time. Idle. Mugalire waweru, tell the neighbors, mugambe siriyo. What are you doing visiting? Huh? You are visiting. Don't you have work? Huh? There's a brother who used to be with us. He doesn't tell you when he's coming. He just shows up. So for us who knew, you don't leave your door open. Perhaps he comes and you hear him knocking, you don't open. I'm telling you the truth. He would just come early in the morning. And then he comes early and gets the remote. Found the TV off, he's getting the remote. In somebody else's home. We had complaints from many believers who this brother made uncomfortable. What are you visiting early in the morning? And on a Monday. You're meddling in other people's what? Businesses. Instead of working your own business. Verses 12. Yet we command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to what? To settle down and work to earn their own living. No, there's no need for such brothers to pray for them. No. Counsel them. Rebuke them. Say, brother, stop walking from house to house. Get a job. Go on a what? On a building and work. There's a brother who we told this. He left church. He says, those people don't like me. But the brother was starting to beg. And says, you know, I'm believing God. And I say, you go work. You have a family. The day we told him, go work, he left the church. Because for us, he told us we are not living by faith. He says, all of us are working. So why are you so special that for you, the church should be giving to you? He says, you know, you don't understand my faith. Hallelujah. So Paul warned against idleness. Idle brothers, the Bible says, if you don't work, you should not eat. Amen. Come on, amen. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. This is still Paul on work. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Again, night and day, we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news to you. Amen? The reason why preachers shouldn't be a burden is because even us, we should be working. Amen? My only job is not to pastor this church. I hope you know that. So, in case you don't give and you don't think I'm doing a good job, I am not going to. I have a family. I have 4 kids. Because I'm not going to come here and demand it. I will preach. I will tell you that you should be doing it. But if you don't, I'm working. But because I'm working doesn't mean, Pastor Akola. No, here I'm also working. You get what I'm saying? So when Bankola Musasuli. Amen. Bazil, you came to church on the right day. I've been wanting to tell you these things. God brought you. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Continue. Then people who are not Christians will respect the way you live. Huh? And you will not need to depend on others. The thing that disturbs me in the Pentecostal move is that the people who have faith are the people most of the times abasabate. It happens so much in the people who are in the prayer ministry. And people who always say faith, we must live by faith. Atebe basaba. Paul is saying, do what? If you work, people who are not born again will respect you because you stop begging. But also if you're a preacher, you stop preaching for money. Amen? Have I ever asked you for money? Both corporately and individually? Unless you are my friend. It's like Pastor Suna, I say, hey, Pastor Suna, give me some money. He's my friend. Pastor Ronald, give me some money. Brother Marino, give me some money. And it's not with an interest. Give me. They know when I ask money, I'm not giving it back. Yes. No, sir, like, give me, I'll give you an interest. No. If you don't have, it's okay. Amen? Otherwise, you should have people like that who give you money and there's no interest in return. Verses 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what happened to the believers who have died so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. Verses 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that Jesus returns. God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Deuteronomy 28:12. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. But the key there is what? Work with your what? Will bless the works of your what? The works of your hand. Ephesians 4:28. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Lazy hands. No, Paul is saying, stop stealing. Work with your what? With your hands. Acts chapter 20, verses 35. Please write down the scriptures. Overwhelm people who don't want to work. So there's evidence. Acts 20, 35. Acts 20, 35. And I've been a constant example of how you can help those in what? In need by working hard. You should remember the words of our Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. 1 Corinthians 4:12. 1 Corinthians 4:12. 1 Corinthians 4:12. We work wearily with our own hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us. And lastly, 1 Timothy 5:8. Now, 1 Timothy 5:8 is a context of Paul giving an example of how to help widows. Okay? So, Paul says to the widows, because sometimes not everybody in the church should be given. There are widows who are lazy. Paul says don't give to lazy widows. Okay? But he says, but those who won't care, give me the King James. King James. King James. King James. King James. But if any provide not for his own, talking about widows, okay? And especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than a non-believer. It's not generally, but he was talking about widows. Of course, he was talking about which widows should help, at what age should you help that kind of widow. But he's saying for any widow, who has the ability to work and is not working and is not supporting his what? His house. He has denied the what? The faith. And is like an what? Is worse than a what? A non-believer. So what's the conclusion? What do you think the conclusion is? I pray for you. Huh? Should I pray for you now? No, we should go and work. Amen? Come on, amen? Because we do not prosper materially by sowing financial seeds. We prosper materially by working, by trading. You have a product, you have a service that you're offering. Are you a farmer? Are you taking care of animals? Are you in technology? Are you a musician? Are you a carpenter? Are you working, like, for example, us who are preachers? Are you working? So that's how you get prosperous. And the Bible says to add on that, be diligent. Okay? Be consistent. There are things that you should be doing that will help you. And some of those things you're not taught in church. They are taught maybe in other circles, business circles, or school, or different people have different expertise. There are people who have different expertise. You know, you'll be shocked that you're going to learn business from a what? From a non-believer. Not from a pastor. Not from a church. A lot of us, or maybe a lot, not many of us, but maybe all of us, if you're working, your boss is not born again. But you're learning from him how to make what? Money. So to make money doesn't need you to be what? Born again, or to have salvation, or to be anointed. There's a system God put there, and the system is called what? Work. And it's fair for everybody, whether you are born again or you are not born again. So why do you give in church? We give in church not to prosper. We give in church, like I told you, so that we can take care of the needs of the church. But number two, there are people working in church. Okay? Gwe tuwasuze ngotula, nezi nasuze ngantunula. So I'm working. So how do you know all those scriptures? I am working while you're sleeping. Okay? So the third thing is for the gospel. This gospel that we preach, the gospel of salvation that is by faith through, by grace through faith, needs to go to the entire world. Amen? So when we give, those are the three areas where our giving goes. But if you want to prosper, work. Amen? Come on, amen. Come on, amen. So are we going to work? Are we going to be generous? Because the reason for work, we've been saying, is to give. So as God has blessed you, so you give. Amen? Come on, amen. As God has what? Blessed you, so you should what? So are you going to be generous? I didn't hear you. Are you going to be generous?